Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing, or I guess beginning, coverage of Championship Week 2021
It's here.
here as early as possible. We've never had a Championship Week video notebook earlier than this, but I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs. We've got Joby Fortson and Rocco Miller down in the bottom row. Rocco joining us from bracketeer.org. We just finished up that bracket rundown show, which you can find above or below or beside us on
Who
the
knows?
thing here, whatever. But this is our Championship Week video notebook, David. What the hell does that mean?
It means, well, it's exactly what it sounds like. We're reviewing what's happened and previewing what's going to happen. And it started tonight. If you didn't know, if you're watching this, you have to know. But conference tournaments have begun. The win in advance stage of the season is underway.
Yeah, it is. And well, I also have two quick news items in terms of conference tournaments. Conference USA and the Patriot League both came out with announcements today that they're expanding their conference tournament fields. We're getting even more conference tournament games.
Yes.
Everybody is invited in both those leagues. They were going to both eliminate the bottom two teams. So, we don't even have a bracket from Conference USA. I don't know how they're doing it. Patriot League, Rocco, they've got teams that aren't going to get to 12 games, but they're still going to play the conference tournament. I think that if they win the conference tournament, they would be at 13. Is that the logic that I'm seeing here from the Patriot League?
I think it's partially that, and I think you actually, were onto something when you sent an email before the announcement, when you said American was going to need to play almost every day to even get there. And I think the conference just probably looked at that as a whole and just said, you know what, let's just include them. And if they're gonna, by creating that extra round, they would have to win four. And
If they get their two games this weekend, they would get to 13 as conference tournament champions for
So I
America.
think they just did the math on that. They're pretty smart in the Patriot
And
League.
same with Bucknell. Bucknell only has eight so far. Two this weekend would be
I'm
10.
pretty smart.
Three rounds.
I'm pretty
Bucknell
smart.
would probably get a bypass the first round, but they'd get to 13 with the conference tournament title also.
So so here we go. Everybody's in. That's great. It's funny because last night, Loyola Maryland was in a game where they thought they had to win to get in, and they played their hearts out and went crazy, and it ended up being that they were getting in anyway.
It's been crazy, but yeah, we'll begin to that.
They get rewarded with playing in the first round still and having an extra game.
It'll be coming up next Wednesday. The two first round games of the Patriot League. That conference will be all on campus sites. The Conference USA, David, an extra round with the curtain. Can't fault that.
And will we get a quintuple header?
I'll tell you what. Let's
One of
get
those
to the games
conferences.
that were actually played tonight, though. We had the four, first four games, and one of them was a hell of a thriller. Here it is, the Horizon League tournament first round games were today, and let's just start right with the big one. Fort Wayne at Green Bay, double overtime, featuring a Pipkins three-pointer off the glass and through at the end of the first overtime to tie the game. Rocco, one of the best Horizon League games I've seen all season. One of the best games I've seen all season, honestly, to start Championship Week.
Oh, it's just phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of runs within the game too. I mean, if you look, looks like KenPom's already got the graph put up. It looks like an earthquake. There were so many runs in this game. There's times in the second half where it looked like Green Bay was going to run away, and Purdue Fort Wayne just kept fighting back. Pipkins took a ton of shots. He took 22 shots, only scored 21 points, but that butt basket changed everything. And you saw what happened in the second overtime. The momentum went all the way over to the Mastodons. And so they pull off the big upset. And thank you for correcting me. They're going to head to Cleveland now because the reseeding format.
Yep, and the other three games that David, for some reason, you thought Robert Morris was going to beat Detroit Mercy. I told you that you were crazy for predicting that.
Gee, I have a different. I mean, I might be blackout drunk, but I'm pretty sure that I don't recall that happening.
It was the third consecutive game the two teams had played each other, but Detroit Mercy took the lead and kind of held on. They actually, I think Bobby Moe actually got an early lead, but then Detroit Mercy took over and held them at arm's length the rest of the way.
So no issues there for Detroit moving on to the quarters, where they'll face Northern Kentucky, who's seeded fourth, but probably maybe a little bit better than that. That should be a fun game. How about, and then Youngstown State, no trouble with UIC. UIC just plagued with a lot of COVID issues, and well, not that, I mean, everybody has to, but Youngstown, a little bit of a disappointment. I think they were someone that we thought could be in the mix. I remember in the preseason talking about them as perhaps challenging for first place, but I still think they have a high ceiling, and Oakland, while good, better watch out. That game on the blacktop, I think.
Yes, it is on the blacktop on Tuesday. The other game, 8-9 game, Joby, normally thinking 8-9 games, that'd be a good game. Last night, I said I did not think it would be, and it really wasn't. Milwaukee just kind of rolled over.
Yeah, Milwaukee's a solid – yeah, Milwaukee's a solid program. IUPI will be in the NCAA tournament, or at least their arena will. So.
Their arena will, yes. Indiana Farmers Coliseum there, right? Joby, how about this moving forward here? We have a few days off. It doesn't come back and play until Tuesday, but you know, three out of four teams won at home. Do you think we could have four home teams win in the next round?
Could, you know, Youngstown State, you mentioned, yeah, as a potential, and the reseed lends itself to that because maybe it had, you know, Fort Wayne been a sacrificial lamb, because I think they are against Cleveland State. Yeah, yeah.
Well Fort Wayne beat Cleveland State last weekend.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I feel pretty confident in Cleveland State, to be very honest, is because it's, you know, it prevents the having to beat a team three times. It's a shame to me. It's a shame to me that Milwaukee, who I think does have some potential here. Wright State, in my opinion, is even though they're the two seed, they're my favorites in this. And so that Wright State Milwaukee game is going to be, I think, an interesting game. Wright State should pull it out, but I think you're going to see the highest quality level of basketball in that particular game. Though Detroit Mercy's playing extremely well. They started the season off slow and they have come on. So, you know, Northern Kentucky, Detroit Mercy, that was a good call out because that could as well be a very fun, entertaining game.
Yeah, well, Detroit Mercy actually finished in third place in the standings under anybody's reasonable reading of the standings, except the way the Horizon League reads it and puts them down in fifth. But Rocco, do you think Wright State, I know Dave and I both last night thought Wright State was going to win this as well. Are you with us with Wright State?
Yeah, if I have to pick a team, it's them.
To pick a team.
Yeah, you have to pick a team. You got to take Wright State. I mean, they're the powerhouse. They've got, they've got Power Six talent on their team. They've got guys that are desperate to get back to the NCAA tournament. They're going to be hungry. It's going to be a little bit probably too big of a buzzsaw for Wright State. That's my pick. I also think it's interesting. It's actually round five now between Cleveland State and Fort Wayne. They played all four times in Fort Wayne. So Cleveland's like, finally, we get to play them at home. And then you got Detroit Mercy. I think you got to call out Antoine Davis and his unbelievable 46 points tonight. Shout out to him. It could be a really cool ride if he gets to the final against Wright State. That would just be all – you know, everybody's got to watch that game if that happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit of history here, Chet. Fort Wayne has never lost a Horizon League tournament game ever.
Okay, you know what? Robert Morris lost their first ever Horizon League tournament game tonight. They had never lost one either.
Well, they had never won one. Like, Fort Wayne's won every game they've played.
Okay, let's there are actually no conference tournament games coming up on Friday, but so we're not going to be doing a show Friday, so we want to take a few minutes here to preview the Saturday games so you can, because nothing's going to change tomorrow that unless one of these games gets canceled, which hopefully doesn't happen. But Saturday is opening round day in the America East. This thing that is claims to be a conference tournament bracket. What we've got is we've got two pods coming up this weekend, one hosted by New Hampshire, where they have a bye and they'll play the winner of Lowell Stony Brook. The other one hosted by Hartford, where Hartford will play Binghamton. Albany will play NJIT, then the two winners will play on Sunday. Then we reseed and go to the following weekend for semifinals. And then in this 15-day event, the following Saturday after that for the championship. So let's start up. Rocco, let me start with the first question. The three games tomorrow, do you see any upsets, at least according to the seeding?
Well, I think Binghamton's the hottest team in the conference. believe it or not, they swept NJIT last week and it came out of nowhere and they won both games by double digits. Just totally blew me away. And Hartford's been sitting around. They're probably excited to host. But I just say, hey, why not Binghamton? Let's see if they can keep it going tomorrow. Saturday.
That's good. Yeah, Saturday. And Stony Brook was a team that we liked earlier in the season. Really fell apart late. I think they're better than Lowell, though. I think they win that 6-7 game.
I agree with that.
Let me ask the other question here. Joby, let me start with you. Who wins this entire event, which we're not going to know for 2.5 weeks?
Right. I do think the gap between even third place by receiving New Hampshire and the top two is dramatic. You know, does Vermont get their long-awaited revenge? They got it last year. Actually, they got it last year against UMBC because UMBC didn't produce at the same level they did in 2018. But Vermont, whenever I look at the America East, I've got to, my fallback is Vermont, even though they're the two seed. Both teams were equal. If you look at the regular season, this is just you could have tossed it in a hat on who would have been the one seed, you know, this year. I'll go with Vermont.
Yeah, I mean, the championship game will be in Baltimore, so we got to remember that. It is a campus site championship. David, you with Joby on Vermont?
No, I'm going with UMBC. I've been big on Vermont all year. I've kind of, maybe it's just because they've let us down a little bit, and I know they finished second, and I know that a lot of it was COVID-related, and But I've just been impressed with UMBC most of the year. I thought Vermont would sweep them when they met just a week ago. They didn't. I think UMBC can get it done at home in this AC-8 looking type of
bracket. Rocco, how about you?
I'll agree with David, actually. And, you know, I know Vermont's the more talented team and obviously better metrics, but I was really impressed with UMBC on their home floor. And this assumes they can beat Binghamton, by the way. assuming they get past Binghamton, they will, you know, the way they asserted themselves, I watched that second Vermont game. So maybe a little lucky that I saw that, but they just look like they went to another gear. They're so well coached. Ryan Odom just won the coach of the year. They gave out all their awards today. I think they've got the goods to do it again in the final.
I'm going with Vermont. So I think we're split 2-2 on the all call right here.
I will say this. I feel very strongly that the winner of this tournament for the second time in three tournaments will win their first game in the NCAA tournament.
I don't think we're looking at a 16 seed. I think we're looking at a 15 seed. But
I think they're 16 playing, to be very honest. But
well, I mean, it's a 16 if it's Binghamton, honestly, but that's a difference.
Definitely playing too.
But
okay. Beat up SWAC or a MEAC team when it comes.
Big South also starts Saturday. Charleston Southern got shut down, so that meant Gardner Webb got a bye here as a 6 seed. Charleston Southern would have been the 11. But we do have the other two first-round games on campus sites. South Carolina Upstate's at High Point. Presby is at Hampton. David, do you predict either one of those games as an upset on Saturday?
Not really. I mean, if Upstate knocks off High Point, I don't know if you'd call that an upset. If Presby knocks off Hampton, it will be an upset. No, and I kind of think – I think that there's Winthrop and then a big gap and then Radford and then a big gap and then everything else. So even if there is, it's not going to really amount to much.
So you're saying that Winthrop is going to roll to this conference tournament title?
In my opinion, yes.
Rocco?
I think Winthrop should roll to a title. They've passed almost every test this year, except for one, obviously. I think the real interesting thing will be in this tournament. You know, Asheville got shut down 2 weeks ago. They have not played since, and they're suddenly just getting thrown into a 4-5 game that they get to host. And, you know, maybe they'll be able to struggle through that and still be able to beat Longwood. But Asheville's the team that beat Winthrop, and that could be a good semifinal, but they've got to get their legs back. And this all assumes they can even play in the tournament. You know, these shutdowns have such wide ranges of effects, right? So that I think that's the story, is to see how they come back in that first game.
Yeah, well, Longwood just lost the other night to Hampton, and it had a chance to host that game had they won it. So you got two teams that are, you know, either one team that's going to be coming off a shutdown, the other team that's not playing well at all right now in that quarterfinal when we get there on Monday. But Joby, are you going to call it upset in this tournament.
I'm really rooting for Winthrop. These are the type of teams where a team that deserves it has been the dominant team is probably outside the bubble or just outside the bubble when if they were to lose. This is one of those times like, man, Winthrop, just take care of business. You deserve, you're an NCAA caliber team. They deserve to be in it, but they're not going to get in if they don't run the table. I am thinking they will, and I am rooting for them.
Well, again, let's start with High Point, with Upstate at High Point and Presby at Hampton on Saturday.
I don't see upsets in those games. USC Upstate was a centenary award candidate for – they climbed their way out of it for a very long time, and Presbyterian has been lost all season.
All right. Well, that's it for Saturday's game. So we will be back again Saturday night to review them and preview what's coming up on Sunday. But before we get done for the night, we want to turn to our survival board. And David, that's the conference tournaments is one of those tabs up there. The other one is survival board. What the heck is a survival board?
Well, it is an invaluable tool that is available for the selection committee that they use, presumably, to determine who they should be locking into the field and who they should be considering and then who they should be, quite frankly, ignoring.
Yeah, and heading into the day today, there were 330 teams on this board with a shot to win the NCAA championship.
Yeah.
We did have four teams that were eliminated, so 326 teams remain left.
Yes.
There it is. There's our current update. And as you can see here, if you are a selection committee member, you can come to this website and let's say you're trying to decide whether or not Ohio State belongs in the NCAA tournament. You look at it and you see
they're in bold. Of course, there they are. They're in bold, so they belong in. And again, if you can go down to the horizon, like, well, there it is at the bottom of the screen there. Like IUPUI lost today and the committee's like, well, what do we do with them? Well, you don't consider them at all because they're no longer listed.
Exactly. And if you look at a team that's in italics, that's a team that they should be debating.
Yes.
Did we get that right?
Yeah, I think we got it all right.
So that's where our survival board is. Like we said, we're at 326 teams. It's going to go slowly for the first few days, and then we're going to see that number start to really accelerate downwards.
Yeah.
And we will be taking teams off, even though they might be the conference's contingency team. They'll just come back on if something crazy happens. But
yeah.
We'll discuss that more as things go on here. Let me pull this down, though, and let me run through all each of you now for any of their final thoughts about what we saw on day one of championship week. Joby?
The double overtime game was a fun one. And that epitomizes what championship week is about. And it won't be the first. Well, it was the first, but it will not be the last of the fun activity we get to see. If you are into basketball, this is a week to pay attention and not just Michigan, Iowa, but these other games.
An 18-day week, Rocco.
Yeah. Yeah, I recorded Michigan, Iowa. I didn't see one play, so I'll be watching that later because of this. This is what it's all about. So I just say three quick things on the survival board. Watch out for Portland. They might not be able to play in the WCC tournament. Youngstown, I just wanted to say I think they hit the lottery because Oakland is the most bizarre three seed you're going to find anywhere at 10-10, and they get to play them, and then we all know Youngstown's got the players, and they've got four seniors. These guys are going to be playing their hearts out against Oakland and beyond if they can get by them. So watch out for them. And then also just the format. Like, we just saw the America East bracket. Obviously, it's crazy looking. But the premise is space out into three different weeks so you can let the teams rest and recover, do it as safely as possible. I kind of wish more leagues would have done that in the low major space. But at least we have a couple, and we'll see how it plays out.
I agree completely. David, you want to finish out the show here?
No matter who you are, you're 11 wins or less away from winning the national title.
Unless you're in some of these conferences where it's like with his 15 rounds.
You're Mary Mac and you're in transition or you're, Delaware State.
Just wait till you see the West Coast Conference 15-layer ladder.
I think they would be inside the first four, though. So then that would be – no, wait, that's five rounds. Okay, some of them might be 12.
Yeah, it's okay. Whatever it is, you have a shot here as long as you are on that survival board. But on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, Joby Fortz, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. We will be back Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, every night.
Every night.
I don't know what else we're going to be doing. We're going to be 3 o'clock in the morning podcasting. Yeah. It's going to be pretty bad, but thanks for joining us, everybody, and have a great Friday and Saturday. We'll talk to you again Saturday night.